Hi friends, welcome to Caroline and Rashi featuring Sherman DeSalle.
Not as cute as Caroline.
No, you are a gem in our newsroom. You are a reporter, and you fill an anchor as well, and you do all kinds of stuff here, and you are an awesome person.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to make sure that you were like top of the list to try to see if I could get you, because he's so great, and one of the reasons why I think he's amazing is because he is an awesome person, husband, father.
Wow, I should have filled in 6 months ago, all these affirmations.
No, it's just, it's great to have someone to just check on you and understand you at a level that others might not understand, because the parenting aspect, while it is the biggest joy of our lives, it is also...
It's another full-time job.
And Sherman and I sometimes work the same shift. I mean, we don't work in the mornings is the point. So we have our full day before our full day.
And so, so by the time we get here, we're kind of like, oh, okay, so now we have to take off our parent hat.
Right.
Put on the the reporter anchor hat.
Yes.
And we every now and then we'll look at each other like, you okay?
I don't even have to say anything and Sherman will understand and say vice versa. And the thing is, our kids are also the same age. And I met his beautiful wife. His wife is awesome and she needs to write a book on how she parents too, because like their kid is like at the fifth or sixth grade level reading and he's gonna go into the third grade. Both of the kids are okay, can we just take a moment absorb the cuteness? I know you should be talking about your kids, but when I saw them, I just like gave them a big hug, picked one of them up, just adorable. And you are just gleaming, proud dad.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, you know, to have two boys is something, because you always got to kind of stay ahead of the game. Like if they're not outsmarting you, then they're just full of energy, and you know, and then you have to break up a fight.
Yes.
But then they love each other, and then they want to spend time with you. You know, and so it's like, it's a lot, but it's a rewarding gig for sure. I mean, they're pretty fun. Noah, that's my oldest. His name is Noah. The youngest is Micah. They're 8 and 4.
And the thing is that I feel my kids are cute as well. His are adorable. I'm like, Sherman, how do you discipline your kids? Because they're so adorable. And I should have put a picture
Easy.
Of his niece as well. She is literally like an angel.
Oh, yeah. My niece is cute.
Oh, my God. And so you're really good at disciplining. Like, I have a harder time.
When you say I'm good at discipline, you mean I'm good at like not being afraid of like getting in their face and saying, hey,
yes,
part. Because I still consider myself, like, I'm a work in progress. Like, I there are certain times where I wonder if I'm doing it all wrong, right?
Right, because you're always second guessing yourself.
Absolutely, because we're learning just as much as they are.
Yes.
But no, I'm not afraid of telling them, hey, listen, you gotta get yourself together, because if I don't do it,
right,
then what's gonna happen?
Right. Know? There's this fine line, I think, because I don't know if either one of your kids has this, but Ryan, he gets anxious, and I don't want to, and I've had anxiety since I was younger too, so I know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like I don't want to baby that, but I do want to help him get through it and cope with
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So having those harder times, like, I'm not like, okay, well, because you're anxious, we're not going to do it kind of thing. It's like, no, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
I'll be there for you, you know, versus where my parents would have been like, you're gonna do this. I don't care if you cry or
totally
whatever.
Totally different generation, right?
But I think that is not the approach I would have taken, because I know my parents did that and that kind of wasn't great for me.
It wasn't what you needed.
Right.
Well, it was funny you asked that, because you say that because my oldest, he was dealing with an anxious moment just yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And I had to like get him grounded like, really quickly. Like, hey, listen, you're making this problem really big.
Right.
It's not that big. Mm-hmm. Let's take a breath.
Yes.
Let's take a couple minutes. So I'm trying to figure that out too.
Yes. And it's great, because the way my parents did it was exactly how I don't want to do it. I'm like, that's not like, what I want.
What do you mean?
I know, right? What do you mean? No, you're fine.
No,
just go over there. Whatever. You're crying, you're crying. You know, it was a very, because they came from very strict parents themselves, and in India and a lot of Asian cultures, and you know, that's what I can speak from. Mm-hmm. They are very strict, and it's very like feelings are not important. Like you don't have a say in things.
You just got stuff you gotta do.
You're lucky to be along for the ride.
Snap.
All you need to do is make all A's, and not just A's, high A's.
And you need to be a doctor.
You got to be a doctor or a lawyer, or you're extremely disappointing. Now, all that to say, my family is. All that to
like,
say,
wait a minute.
Y'all, you know your doctor's got to be a Patel or something, right? Like to be, yeah, exactly. Or some type of Indian or something. I'm sure one of your doctors in your life has been Indian.
Sometimes stereotypes are just.
Yes. I'm not saying all Indians are great doctors.
Right.
All walks of life, great doctors. I'm just saying that. The reason you see,
sure.
I would say, so many doctors.
It's because of the level of expectation.
Yes.
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure a lot of those, I know some of my friends who are doctors who are like, I really didn't want to do this. I wish I didn't do this. I wish I did something different, you know? But I was a biology and chemistry major.
Yeah, I remember you telling me.
Yeah, this. So I was like on track to do the whole thing. But then I was like, this is too nasty. Like, I can't even get over it. I'm like, this is nasty. I can't even deal with looking at my own like blood, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't even deal with it. But it's crazy how much we deal with our kids.
Yeah.
Like,
it definitely is. And then there's knowing that one kid is not gonna need the same thing from you as the other kid,
mm-hmm.
right? Like my oldest, I can look at him a certain way and he will get into shape.
Mm-hmm.
But my youngest, it's like, why did you do that? Because I wanted to. And I'm just like.
With that cute face. So how do you think you've changed as a parent? Now becoming a parent, like how do you think you have changed?
Being a parent constantly reveals the parts of you that you need to acknowledge and that you may not be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always like a mirror thing happening,
mm-hmm.
a reflection of like, okay, so how do I want them to act? Because
mm-hmm.
I need to act like them. I'm just
right.
like, oh my gosh. So it's a humbling thing for sure.
It is.
And often I don't realize how much of similarity I have with my kids and with versus what my dad had with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk to him and he'll say, oh yeah, for sure. You did such that. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't feel as horrible about it.
Right, right.
But
yeah.
But you're right. I mean, our generation, we have to not only figure out what's best for the kids, but we also have to like unlearn the things that
yes.
we had to deal with
yes.
too. And that I think that's the tricky part.
You know, I almost feel like, and this is going deeper, but I almost feel like when we're born, when we come to this world,
are we in therapy?
This
right
is
now?
How our show goes. This is how our show goes. You should come in more often.
Okay.
Okay, okay. So when we're born with all of the feelings, but not the skills on how to deal with those feelings,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are growing up, school, it conditions us to think and feel and be a certain way.
Right.
Right. And so when we're on this path of being spiritual or more one with ourselves, you have to unlearn.
Yeah.
Right.
You do.
So I feel like being a parent almost connects you more to your real self.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to do often because we have conditioned ourselves to our environment. And to get to that point, sometimes it's humbling. I think that for our parents, or I can speak for my parents, they didn't even look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, this is part of life. Part mm-hmm. of life is having kids and raising them.
Mm-hmm.
Raising them is also sometimes looked at as a bad word because you raise cattle, right? Like you nurture mm-hmm. your children.
Mm-hmm.
The children are like seeds in a garden. And Will Smith said this actually, and I like stuck with me. They're seeds in a garden and it's your job to give them a good environment, water, all of that.
Wow. And when you say that, I think pressure.
Right.
When you say that, because then there's this, okay, I have to provide this nurturing environment for these kids, no matter what I have going on,
mm-hmm.
no matter how I'm feeling for the day, because they could care less about what I have going on personally.
Right.
You know, the things that I need to work through,
mm-hmm.
you know, all they know is right now, like, what are we going to do right now, Dad?
Like, and that's the unlearning aspect. Yeah. Because when we were kids, we were just concerned about the right now.
Yeah, for sure.
We were just concerned about what the person was saying now, mm-hmm. not worried about the past or the future. And so I think in that respect, you just have to kind of keep going back to that.
Yeah.
Even though life keeps coming at you.
Man, because life be lifing.
Oh, gosh. Life be lifing. It is. It's crazy.
Yeah.
What's crazy is our next topic as well. So stick around. We got more Sherman DeSalle filling in for us on Carolina Rashi right after the break. Okay, so Sherman DeSalle is married to his beautiful, beautiful wife. How many years?
14. What are you about to, your face changed so fast. Jeez, give 14? Me 3 seconds.
Wait, 14? Oh, so you got married in 2011. 11, yes you did.
Yeah, New Year's Day, 2011. 1-1-1-1.
Was that on purpose? Like,
actually,
obviously?
No, it wasn't.
Wait, what do you mean it wasn't?
It wasn't. We got engaged the year before, and we said we only wanted to be engaged for a year. And we said, okay, well, let's look at the first Saturday of the year. Uh-huh. It happened to be January 1st of 2011.
So was everybody just like not hungover?
No.
It's like, let's let the party continue.
And that was also like a different time in our life. So like those type of celebrations weren't something that we did.
Oh, like New Year's Eve?
Yeah. And you know, like having a drink and all that stuff. Like we weren't around those type of people.
Okay. Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right. Especially, but did you go on your honeymoon?
Yeah, we went on a honeymoon.
Where'd y'all go?
We went to Tennessee. We went to the Smoky Mountains.
Oh, okay.
All right. Listen, so my oldest sister, Natalie, it was the day of the wedding, and my sister walks in where I was, and she goes, y'all going to your honeymoon soon? I was like, yeah. She goes, where y'all going to your honeymoon? And I said, Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. She goes, oh, you nasty. I was like, what is wrong with you?
No, okay. Well, here's a spin on honeymoons. So you've heard of destination weddings, uh-huh. but how about group honeymoons?
Hell no. Absolutely not.
That's apparently a trend, Sherman.
What?
People are inviting friends, even their parents, along for a post-wedding getaway.
What?
The so-called family moon seems to be gaining in popularity. A relationship expert says this is a generational thing, mainly Gen Zers. She thinks brides and grooms need to think about this one, and if they agree to it, there needs to be some boundaries.
Needs to be boundaries. Here's the first boundary. Leave them at home.
I mean, why in the world would you take, like, let's all do this together. The point of a honeymoon is to get, to get to know the other person.
And to spend intimate time with them.
Right.
And different forms of intimacy, rather. Like not just, you know, the wham bam, but.
What are you saying?
No.
No, it's just to get to know each other, but it's just also celebrating each other.
We can do that before we go to the honeymoon. Y'all want to have a little trip together?
Yes.
Let's do that a couple of months before.
There's a bachelorette party. There's the pre-wedding parties and all that. But you don't call. Like, I can understand if, you know what? I can't understand that.
I can't understand it either.
The reason you contribute it to a honeymoon fund, which I think is a good idea, because honeymoons can be very expensive.
They can be very expensive.
You know, and especially the Smoky Mountains.
Listen, 2 days before we left, I looked at my bank account. I was like, Lord,
damn,
we having a good time, but gonna be in the red in the first week marriage, baby. That's what's up. No,
but we happy.
We happy though. That's crazy.
So why did you choose the Smoky Mountains of all places?
Well, we had never been to that part of the country. Mm-hmm. And it was really pretty, mm-hmm. you know, like we're in the mountains. We actually got snowed in.
Oh. Week,
right.
So stop, like, on fireplace.
When we got there,
yeah.
we said, okay, we should probably go to the store and stock up just in case we get snowed
like,
in.
Babe, there's an avalanche coming.
we could, like, the mountains were really close too. So it was really nice. It was scenic, you know. But yeah, so that's all I'll tell you about.
Okay, well, that's good. So y'all were, y'all actually couldn't go out and play in the snow?
We did.
Okay.
We did, but we didn't do that the whole time. So, of course. I got two boys. Just saying.
All right, well, we'll be right back. So Sherman doesn't drink coffee, right?
What? I you just drank coffee
an hour okay. ago. I felt like there was somebody that was, that's, I'm sorry.
Put
I it. It. Yeah, yeah. IV, you know, it doesn't even work with me anymore. We me both either. Worked morning shows and it's just messed up our system. Yeah. Now we just crave the taste,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
I just can't, I was gonna get a coffee, but it's not gonna do anything to me.
Yeah, at this point, it's just dirty water.
Yeah, and Starbucks, I'm just gonna say it. I mean, it's just not doing it. And it's so expensive. And now coffee's gonna get even more expensive. Mm. President Trump has set a 50% tariff on imports from Brazil starting next month. So I don't know if you know this, but a third of the coffee in the US comes from Brazil. And some traders are already starting to reroute coffee supplies set for the US to other countries.
Not coffee being priced like cocaine.
Got right? It. Not like that. We always do stories on whether coffee's good for you or bad for you, whatever, but then the price going up like that.
Man, that makes you want to detox and just drink water.
No, like, I mean, I still want coffee.
You still want coffee?
No, I don't want to detox. But my favorite drink other than that is Coke.
Really?
What kind of flavor do you like? Or do you like any Coke products?
Yeah, I like Coke. I'll drink a Coke. I like cherry Coke, but I don't have them that often.
Okay.
Like every couple months.
Why would you like cherry Coke?
Yeah, cherry Coke.
Have you tried the cherry vanilla Coke?
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's nasty.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Okay. Anyway, Coke, like, it might change in flavor because President Trump says Coca-Cola will start using real cane sugar in its signature soda. Mm. But the company isn't confirming this change yet. The president did announce the agreement on Truth Social. So Coca-Cola already uses real sugar for its regular Coke in other countries, including Mexico. But here in the U.S., it's made with high fructose corn syrup. Mm. A spokesperson for Coca-Cola says the details will be shared pretty soon. Have you ever tried Coke in another country?
Well, isn't the Cokes that are in the bottles, the glass bottles, the ones from like Mexico?
Yes.
Don't they have the cane sugar
yes.
in them?
So yes.
They would taste more like that.
Yeah. But that, I think it tastes good.
I think
I mean,
so
it's very sugary.
All right. Now I'm getting hungry. Because I want the Coke with like some tortillas.
Oh.
Getting hungry now. Thanks.
Coke is a liquid.
Yeah,
why?
I know.
Because we're talking about the Mexican Coke. You want Mexican food now?
Yes. Yes.
But you know they have that in like other countries too, the cane sugar. It's only the U.S.
Well, why are we? Well, why?
I don't know why you're talking about tortillas right now. Like you could have like Chinese food with a Coke.
I'm hungry.
But different types of Coke. I know you just had baked Lays. Different types of Coke are different across the world. I don't know if you've seen in Atlanta where the Coca-Cola factory. Nasty. Like Spain Coke is different flavor than like the Coke in India we used to drink all the time. It's kind of like the Mexican Coke.
Okay.
Yeah, with real cane sugar. It's just here in the U.S. where they use a lot of those chemicals, which
you know,
is crazy.
I've been trying to keep up with the fact that we're, you know, things are starting to change when it comes to the ingredients that we have in our
mm-hmm,
food. And like,
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how much of a shock to our bodies we're going to have when we realize how different some of these things will taste with these
I think it would be
ingredients out of
yes
yeah.
It's going to be better because going to other countries like and having for instance pasta in Italy or mm-hmm. wine in Italy mm-hmm. or something it tastes so different. You're not as full heavy, you know. Mm. There's not so much fermentation which happens with different
so
types
culture.
Of well because
you know the pasta in Italy
pasta it's just so because they don't use you know yeah. all the chemicals and everything
right,
and I've
right.
also just like looked into why people feel bloated because I've been feeling bloated lately and it's really annoying. Let's just put it all out
I'm
there.
Sorry about that.
No, I just feel like indigestion. I don't know if it's because I'm like getting older, but I'm like, this feels weird anyway.
Hmm.
So like a lot of times when you have sugar and it's different types of sugar, like fake sugar, basically, it can ferment in your system and then cause all this bloating. And
oh, so that's what this is.
Yes, right. No, that's just.
This is fermented sugar. Bring the cane sugar Coke now. because I got a lot of fermentation happening in this area.
No, I'm just talking about in general. Like, does the bloat ever go away?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. I'll exercise this morning, but now I just know I need to stay away from the fermentation. All right. Thank you.
But you know what I'm saying?
I'm learning a lot.
Okay, like Ritz crackers has all this bad stuff in it.
Well, not a Ritz cracker.
Stop.
What?
You know Ritz is banned in like Europe?
Shit.
Yes.
You know how many Skittles? Of those things I ate?
No, you're not. Okay. That's what's happening. The fermentation. You know how bad Ritz is for you?
No. Now I do.
Real bad. Skittles, do you like Skittles?
You know, at first I loved being on this show. I thought
it is still wonderful, and we love Sherman being on this show too. But
it's a lot.
No, but what you're gonna love is finding natural, cool food.
Okay.
Like that's not like, you know, fried apple or not baked apples or something.
Okay.
You know, I don't know why I picked baked apples.
I don't know either.
But you know, like I just had a bowl of cherries for my dessert. That did nothing for me, right? Like, I much rather wanted to just have like a chocolate chip cookie, right?
Right.
But I'm on this quest to find stuff that tastes
as a substitute for what you would normally
right,
get.
Right.
Yeah, I understand that.
Because I think people say this too often and it's annoying where it's like, this is so delicious. I love kale.
Yeah, no, absolutely
no.
not.
No, mm-hmm. This is not burgers and fries good. This is like healthy people food
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I definitely have to get more to the point where I'm eating to live and not living to eat.
Yes.
Like that's a challenge for me for sure.
But I think, and maybe if you fill in again, I can tell you about how I've like been chefing it up and finding some really good recipes that I haven't messed up, and they really actually do taste good.
Like with some alternatives to what you would normally eat?
Yes.
Okay.
And even Daniel, has, you know, eats it and is like, wow, I don't feel like, you know, bloated or, you know, indigestion or whatever. Like
okay.
Chinese food, like say you go to like Schmanda Express.
Schmanda Express is
it's yeah, good, it's, but you know what
I'm pretty
saying?
Pretty clutch, but yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You feeling kind of weird afterwards, right? Like
that was pretty slick.
Oh don't sue. Gosh.
Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully Sherman's going to be back pretty soon and we can talk more. We're out of time, friends, but we will see you next time. Sherman, you did awesome.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Fun.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time, friends.
Bye.
Bye.